So those are the demands and some of the potential solutions. But we've spoken a lot about the ships so far, and somewhat neglected the other element of the route, the ports. The Port of Dover isn't owned by the government, it's owned by the Dover Harbour Board and is therefore independent. So whilst £144 billion of commerce comes through here every year, the annual turnover is less than £60 million. This means every decision about infrastructure change, particularly on a scale like this, has to be meticulously researched. So with all of these caveats around electricity, what considerations are the Port of Dover making throughout all of this transitionary period? It's time to talk to Port of Dover's Megan Turner about their plans going forward.
So the P&O Pioneer is just one of a set of two sister vessels. So her sister vessel, which is just the same vessel, again, will be coming to the Dover-Calais route in kind of January, February time and going into service shortly after that. So we'll then have the two hybrids. But long term after that, all three of our ferry operators have actually stated their plans to either hybridise or go fully electric, with one of the ferry operators looking to be fully electric by 2030. So that'll be five fully electric ferries on the route.
The elephant in the room really is, though, the question of how you power stuff, because as terrible for the environment that fossil fuels are, they are a decentralized and very quick and easy way of powering stuff. And an electric boat, you kind of need to power at each end or power at what end, and that surely puts a great amount of strain on the grid wherever you have to charge up, even if it's just one.
Yeah, definitely. So a lot of the work that we've kind of done collectively as a corridor so far has been looking at that electrical demand and what that's going to look like. On current technology, the vessels do have to charge at both ends just because of the current technology of batteries means they can't do a whole round trip. So we've done a lot of work of what that's going to look like, what is the size of that challenge. And we think it's about 20 times more the electricity than we currently have into the port. So into the Eastern Docks, which is this ferry terminal, we have about 4 megawatts currently that comes to the port. And we look to need possibly around 160 if all 13 vessels were to fully electrify. So that's a huge step up from where we are currently. So a lot of work has been focused on how would we do that, because as well, it's not as simple as just taking it from the grid, because the UK grid isn't fully decarbonised. So we would like to look at a fully decarbonised solution as well. So is there other options? So a lot of work has been done on that and all the different options, of which there are quite a few, because it could be looking to the grid or renewable options. But the infrastructure required to support that, as I'm sure you can imagine, is huge. And it's the same in France as well. They will need a similar amount of electricity that they don't currently have.
How do you think the best way of getting this electricity to the port would be?
So we're currently looking at a few options, being the grid or some sort of private wire maybe to a renewable solution. There's lots of different options out there. We haven't made a firm decision on which route yet, mainly because they're still at the start of this work. So what's going to work out best from a carbon perspective, but also from a cost perspective. We don't want the route to become so expensive that customers have to foot the bill. We need to make sure that this is done in a way that is still going to be cost effective. So things like renewable solutions rather than the grid normally have a cheaper cost throughout the life of that vessel, but a more expensive at the beginning. So it's kind of looking at all of those costs and figuring out which is going to be the best solution. We know that either way, whichever route we go down, we've still got to get that huge amount of electricity to the door of either ports, and then once you get it through the door, we've got to get it through a port, and that's the same for Calais. So it's a quite significant task that we've got on our hands here, and a lot of infrastructure will be required. We'll basically need an entire new grid system in the port and down to Dover.
This is, as you say, a huge undertaking and so many moving parts to consider. What's the kind of timeline on this sort of thing?
I mean, 2030 is not really that far away in the grand scheme of what we're talking about here. But I mean, as I mentioned, DFDS's ambition is fully electric by 2030. So that is a date that we're working to at the minute, to have at least five fully electrics plus the two hybrids we already have. I think it's fair to say that both the Dover and Calais for the P&O hybrids would like to give it to them much sooner than 2030. And that's definitely what we're working to. What's the quickest timescale on which we can do this? But even for small upgrades, because of the distance they're going to have to come, it is still looking like it's going to creep closer to 2030. And it does look achievable at the minute with a lot of work going in right now. But the Dover-Calais route is responsible for 8% of UK maritime emissions. So for one small route, that's quite a considerable amount of emissions. Even if we can have those five fully electrics and the two hybrids by 2030, that's going to reduce the emissions of Dover-Calais, but also just UK maritime emissions.
I suppose we have to talk about the uncomfortable question, which is funding. How is this going to be funded?
So far, a lot of the work we've done on this has been feasibility studies, and we've been really fortunate that they've been funded through the Department for Transport and Innovate UK through the Clean Maritime Demonstration Competition. Funding to actually install them, obviously that's not something that comes from UK government. Interestingly, there's not a single shore power installation in the world that hasn't had government funding of some sort. So that kind of puts in perspective that we're talking about a really big expense, especially for lots of the ports in the UK are trust ports, which we are, which adds another little complexity onto this from a legal perspective. So part of the reason we haven't made a decision yet is how do we pay for this? As the port, do we have to work with our ferry operators to pay for this together? Can we look for more funding opportunities? How can we fund it? It's probably one of our biggest questions at the minute. We know there's a little bit more feasibility work we need to do before we're quite ready to actually start installing things, mainly around the plug, as such, is the best way to call it. So there's lots of shore power systems that exist across the world. 30 megawatts per ferry is our best estimate at the minute. Amount into that ferry in 45 minutes is so considerable. What that plug's going to look like is part of the question we still have. How do we find a plug that all three ports can agree on and all three operators, because we can't afford to have a separate plug on each berth for each operator? That's just too expensive. So that's a piece of work we know we need to do next, is looking at this plug. How do we find a plug that everybody can use, that works for everybody, that can actually do what we physically need to do? Because there's not many on the market right now that currently do that. So that's kind of what we've put a bid in under CMDC4, so the Clean Maritime Demonstration Competition, the fourth round, to see if we could start to look at designing that plug. Because once we've, you know, fixed that piece of the puzzle, we know everything we need to do then in theory. It's just a case of starting to install it.